Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them. For good. I have sent them you, my only son.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. The month of July is just about finished now. We got John from Milwaukee on hold here in the background. He's going to be our guest here for maybe the next 15 to 30 minutes, and we're going to bring him on pretty quick here as he's sort of getting tired and would like to get to bed. Just trying to figure out here how to bring John on. John, can you unmute your microphone, please? I'm still learning how to use the Skype software here, but the network CEO said all I had to do was conference him in, and still learning how to use the Skype. John, can you unmute your microphone, please? I don't see any indication here where I can unmute him. Oh, boy. John, I'm going to call you right back here. I don't have this all figured out yet. Just hang up, and I'll call you right back to bring you on. Anyway, you're listening to Light of Day in the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert of Tucson, Arizona. We're live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. After John's finished, I'm going to read some articles and play some sound bites. I'm calling John as I speak here. Anyway, sorry about this, folks, but I just haven't got the hang yet of the Skype software. Hello, John, are you there? This just ain't working the way I wanted it to. Hello, John, are you there?
Hello, Sheldon.
Well, hello, John, welcome to the show. I'm still learning how to use the Skype software here. Anyway, folks, this is John from Milwaukee. He's originally from the Colorado area, and he's pretty in tune with what's going on with this Planet X stuff and all that. If you will, John, could you tell our audience what you know about your classified source out there in Colorado that's told you about these future ocean levels?
Okay, Sheldon. My second home is Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I've been living here in Milwaukee for a long time now. I want to get out of here. Back two decades ago, I had a neighbor, a cute little neighbor, was an Air Force officer, and she worked for, she just transferred for another Air Force base, and she moved downstairs by me, had a boyfriend who was from Wisconsin, and we became really, really good friends. And it wasn't for them, another friend of mine wouldn't get married. So just to put that in there. About a year after I'd known them, I've been starting to hear the term called global warming. And I thought, well, what's that? You know, I've heard of, acid rain and yellow rain, you know, stuff like that. I thought, well, I like to, you know, since she's a meteorologist, maybe she could tell me some stuff. So we were having a cookout one summer day, and I asked her about, what do you know about this global warming, you know, and she kind of hesitated and stuff, goes, well, I don't know if I should really tell you about what it's about and stuff. I says, well, what is this something that I'm not supposed to know about? And then she spilled the beans and told me that she would never tell me even today if she told me how she got this information, if it was a classified briefing or what. But she says that you're going to hear stuff about greenhouse gases and stuff. You're not supposed to believe that. And that what's really happening is what's going on in our solar system, that there's something that NASA knows about, and that what's coming through our solar system is going to cause our climate changes. He said, you're going to see really weird weather. Well, then she brought up about Planet X, Planet 10, and I thought, well, I've heard about that before from our Bell program. I thought, well, I didn't really have interest in that. So then one day she told me that she saw there's a conference room. It was a small conference room, and there was two maps. First, there was a projector screen in the middle, with the overhead projector in the middle of the aisle there. And she just happened to walk in there one morning, and there was a world map on the left side and a United States map on the right side. And she said they didn't look like maps of what you look at the World Atlas. And they were computerized maps. They were laminated. They were colored. And I have to paraphrase because she has to paraphrase it. She said something about possible future climate change or projections of climate change or something on top of the maps. When she looked at the world map, she said that all the Pacific Islands were gone, the Aleutian Islands were gone, the southern tip of South America was gone. But she looked at the United States map because that's, you know, that was more important. She looked at Wisconsin first because her boyfriend at the time, later got married as her husband. She looked at Wisconsin, some of the coast of Wisconsin was gone, and, you know, Great Lakes area. But she saw Florida gone, Cuba gone, and the Bahama Islands gone. And she drew that map that I gave to you, and she says that they had a bunch of people going to that conference room that day. There was a few Air Force generals, Navy admirals, but mostly civilian. Well, not that many people. You couldn't fit a lot of people in there. For 2 days, they had people going in there. She went in there twice to look at these maps. The next morning, she wanted to go in there, but she couldn't because the door was locked. So, and I asked her, well, when are these things going to happen and stuff? She says probably between 15 and 25 years.
15 to 25 years, so when would that 25 years be up?
Boy, I'm not sure because she didn't give a date line. This was back in the 1990s, so we're probably counting down now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was their estimate. So I says, really, that's interesting. So she says, you promised not to tell anybody. He says, well, I've been in the military before. I had a secret clearance, a security clearance, and I ain't going to say nothing. I thought, well, geez, I'm the only guy that kind of knows about this stuff. And years and years and years later, there's a guy named John Moore. I've read some of his articles in Survival Guide magazine, and here he talks about this stuff in 2004, and I go, I almost fell off my chair one day. He says, whoa, what does he know that I know? And so I had to call my source and said, you got to listen to what this guy's got. And he put out that No Need for Panic. She looked at it. I had to get consent, permission to go on the air and talk about this stuff before she could say okay, as long as I didn't give much information. So it's pretty interesting. And at the time, I've heard about chemtrails, and stuff, and I thought that was an urban legend, and I'm like, these people don't know what they're talking about. Those are just ice crystals. Till summer 2007, I think it was, me and my friend were out with their metal detectors, and I saw a plane looking from on the Long Lake. We have a commercial?
Oh, yeah, we do have a commercial. Stay tuned, folks. We got John from Milwaukee on the line here, and he's expounding upon what he knows about the earth changes that are rapidly in store for us here. Anyway, you're listening to The Light of Day. with your host Sheldon Day live Saturday night, July 31st. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Stay tuned, folks. The sun exclaims there'll be nothing to do till her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While pirate affairs are screwing rotten, light morale has hit rock bottom. Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. We're broadcasting from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert in Tucson, Arizona. Our dew points are pretty close to 70 degrees now, at least for the last 3 or 4 days here. We got John from Milwaukee on the line. And he's telling us what he thinks about these impending earth changes that are about to happen. He had a highly classified source at one time that was sharing some information with him. Anyway, are you there, John?
I'm still here, yes. And if people think that we're fear-mongering or something to be like Y2K and stuff, folks, I mean, here this just comes from NASA, ScienceNASA.gov, dated June 4th, 2010. As the sun awakens, NASA keeps a wary eye on space weather. This comes from SteveQuayle.com about the Vatican moving, you know, the Pope moving to Africa. Geez, I wonder why they're moving there. This is from ocean floor rising by 13 feet per day in Australia. And, that comes from Google something. I got to look that up. But when you see this stuff on Internet, you should download this right away because it ends up disappearing. Because you should document this and show people that Asylum, I don't know what this article here, End of the World. This was just about 3 weeks ago. End of the World in 2013, says NASA. That's from NASA. They're hinting us on that something's going to be happening. And, you know, I asked my source about these chemtrails because, you know, I thought they're urban legend. And she thinks that they're coating the skies to protect us from these solar flares. And I don't believe they're spraying us to kill us, to poison us and all that garbage or say it's something to do with HARP. You know, I think they are coating the skies. See, I didn't really believe in those chemtrails. I just thought, that's just urban legend. Well, 2007, I was out there with by the lakefront with my buddy with their metal detectors. I saw this plane. It must have been about 10,000, 15,000 feet, somewhere around there. And it was like a 757, and it was coming from north going to south. And I says, man, he's pretty high to be coming into Milwaukee's General Mitchell Field because usually they fly in their final approach about 5,000 feet. Right behind the wings, not the engines. All of a sudden, it started shooting out this white stuff, and it kept going for it. But I told my friend Jerry, look at that, you know, and because he was skeptical, you know, worry about these chemtrails. And then all of a sudden, it stopped shooting it, and it kept going a few more miles on, and it started shooting out more. And I wish, doggone it, I had my police scanner with me because I could monitor the air traffic controllers to see what that plane was. And you could see there's no markings on that plane. It was like more of a white aircraft. So I thought, there is something to these chemtrails. And I'll continue here that stuff. These are stuff that are coming out. A Norwegian politician. People could Google. This came out, I believe, in 2008, January 4th, 2008. A letter from a Norwegian politician. He's talking about underground bunkers and stuff and what they're doing.
To have all them bases under Norway finished by 2011. I think there's 18 of them. And sure enough, he talks about underground arcs, and that's what we see on the movie 2012. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? 2012, that came out in November. All of a sudden, in January, we start seeing these earthquakes. It's like, is there a timeline here or something like that? You know, but I'm going through some articles here that looking at the Tennessee governor wanted a bunker by his house, but panel or something. The government didn't want him to have it. Why does he want a bunker by a state mansion there? You know, I got that documented. Plum Island moving to Kansas. You know, it's just, when you see this stuff on the internet, everybody should download this stuff because it disappears, you know. And, like, incoming space rocks now classified. Well, why is that classified? So something's not right there. So we're not fear-mongering here, making this stuff up. I don't know when this stuff is going to happen. It may happen after 2012. It may happen before. But people should start preparing. They should start stocking up on food. When you see food that's buy one, get one free, get that. You know, start stocking up every week if you can. I know it's hard times out there. If you have a basement, you should start building yourself a shelter if you have a home or something. And stay away from the coast. If you live in Florida, get out.
Yeah, what were your thoughts, John, when I sent you that email that I uncovered this photo of a concrete dome structure at the new NASA facility there north of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico?
I find it really, really interesting about that. And I also had another source that told me about a guy that does some work, contracting work here, and there's an underground bunker I'll just say not far from my house. And he saw bunk beds and a command center stuff. He had a security clearance. He wasn't supposed to really talk about it, but he did hint out that there's bunker. There's a book out. I don't have it now. It's called The Planet X or 2012 Survival Guide. It says 48 states have at least two or three bunkers. And we know the other states that are not in there is Florida and Hawaii, because those will be gone. Those will be underwater.
Oh, what happened to your book on that? I thought you had that still.
I gave that away to a neighbor of mine to educate that person.
Oh, I see. Hey, by the way, you know, we've been talking about sinkholes on my shows. You're extremely close to that sinkhole that happened here in Milwaukee recently. Can you expound on that?
Yes, four blocks away from my house, we had a sinkhole. Vehicle, SUV, just drove right in it. Lucky the guy didn't get hurt. And according to a construction worker, I go to this pantry store. I call him Stop and Robs. The pantry guy says, yeah, the construction worker told him this sinkhole is bigger than what it is, and they have to do more work. Now, we've been getting a lot of heavy downpour rains, and I'm not sure if that has something to do with it, but we've been hearing these sinkholes all over the place on the planet, so something's kind of funny about that. But I kind of think, like, I want to investigate more. It could be these heavy downpour rains that could do it, you know. So I'm kind of, like, neutral on that subject. But we've been hearing, what is it, one house or something that went down and killed some people?
Well, there's recently one. There's been 100 in Florida alone this year. Yeah, so they're popping up quite a bit.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And the oil spill, well, I'm neutral on it. It could have been a freak accident, or it could have been done on purpose. But you kind of wonder about that, because that could affect the Gulf Stream, jet stream. You know, that could affect the Northeast and Ireland and the UK and up in that area. Like John Moore has talked about that. You wonder if that was done on purpose for some reason.
Yeah, according to an Italian scientist that Bill Deagle had on this show, the North Atlantic thermal hailing conveyor that escalator current that brings the warm waters up to the north, and then it loops back down around the west coast of Europe there. It's apparently has apparently totally shut down.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, like I say, the 2012 movie that came out, pretty interesting, comes out in November, and then we have these earthquakes in January, and now we're getting really hot and humid weather up here, and I wonder if the Earth did shift. Last year, summer, we didn't even get near 90. I think we didn't even hardly had any humid weather. It was a really cool, mild summer, I should say. And then all of a sudden, now we're just hot and humid, and I just wonder if we shifted somehow. Because I looked at the South Pole webcams, you could do that, and I noticed in November, you could just see, this was like... And I think we're coming up to a break here soon.
Yeah, we're coming into a break. You want to hold over, John? This is great. You're doing a great job.
Sure. I'll hold over till one more break, then I got to go, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sounds good. You're listening to The Light of Day on Orion. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back in a few. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day on the Orion Talk Radio Network with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. Man, I sure miss Paula Abdul. That was my favorite singer back in the late 80s going into the early 90s. That particular piece was called Knocked Out. Anyway, we got John from Milwaukee on the line giving us his thoughts about what the current status quo and about this impending brown dwarf star headed into our inner solar system. You still there, John?
I'm still there. I'm still here. Back in May of 2009, I'm fascinated with the South Pole. I think there's a lot more what goes on down there. They're not telling us, you know, secret digs and stuff like that. And I like to look at the webcams down there. And it was around November or May of 2009, which would be like the month of November down there. And I still, on the horizon, I could see on the webcam, it was still a little light down there. And I thought, that's odd, because usually it's dark at that time. Well, this year I checked and it was dark. So I noticed something must have shifted. The Earth must have shifted. We had those earthquakes back in January. I find that really, really interesting. Also, my source, I don't have no contact with my source anymore that revealed this information. But she believes that La Nina, this is her her opinion, she believes La Nina and El Nino is nothing but a cover for our weather changes.
And I did want my audience to know that the information John's alluding to here about this map of what the future North America is going to look like is on John Moore's sequel DVD, which he told me is now finished. He's just waiting for financing from somebody or something, and that'll be out then.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. The follow-up, but I mean, even NASA's coming out talking about their, you know, that they're watching an eye on the sun and space weather and stuff like that. So if they're putting it out, they're hinting people what's going on. There was a real interesting, I don't know if it was 2020 or Dateline, it was February of 2006, one of those dumb shows. I don't watch TV much. I was getting ready to watch the news or something, local news, catch the weather. And they were talking about global warming. They're giving the greenhouse gases garbage, you know. Here they showed a map of the United States, and they showed Florida underwater. And they showed the coast underwater. They're showing this, and they're saying, well, this could happen if the greenhouse gases keep going and stuff. And so right then and there, I know they were hinting. They're hinting to the public out there what's going to happen. So, and I don't remember which, if it's Dateline or 2020. I just don't keep up date with that. I thought, huh, is that interesting? Here they're showing a map of the United States. It was, I know it was February 2006. I know that for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because I'm the one that uncovered that NASA contract awarded to a Prudential subsidiary that NASA was going to start relocating their own people back in late 2007, and they had 2 years to get it finished. And here, sure enough, we got, you know, the Kennedy Space Center in Florida and a few other NASA facilities along the Gulf Coast. So I think NASA knew something at least 3 years in advance.
Oh, sure. Well, look at, they closed a lot of military bases like Sawyer Air Force Base up in UP, Michigan. Well, the UP, Michigan up there, that's north of Wisconsin, that's going to be pretty much underwater because that's sandwiched between Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. Well, why did they close that up there? That'd be an important base. So, you notice all the bases around Colorado or in the middle of the country were never in a base closure thing. It's mostly around the Gulf Coast and stuff. There's also talk about maybe moving the Pacific Command out of Hawaii and putting it in Australia or in the middle of Alaska on a military basis there. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
No, I didn't.
So we'll keep our eyes open on that. There was rumor, too. I did call the 4th Marine Division. That's the United States Marine Corps Reserve. There was rumor that they were going to leave Louisiana and put it up at the Kansas City. But I called on there, and they said that there was no word about moving them. So I found that, because after Katrina, I can't remember if it was Leatherneck Magazine or Marine Corps Gazette Magazine, it's something that they were talking about relocating the headquarters, 4th Marine Division, Marine Corps Reserve, to Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas up there. So, but I called, they said, well, there was no plans to relocate. So I found that really, really interesting.
What are your thoughts, John, about the brown dwarf star Planet X? You think it's out between Jupiter and the main asteroid belt right now? Where do you think it is?
I don't know. I think it's probably still underneath our solar system. It's coming up this way. I don't know if it's in our solar system yet. That's my opinion. I think it's still underneath us. You know, they're still watching it when they're down there by the South Pole, which is winter down there now. So they're probably keeping an eye track on it. It's down there. Don't be surprised if they make up a story to evacuate the International Space Station after the space shuttle program goes. They'll just make up a story that they can't live up there because they had a problem that they have to abandon it. Then you know something is coming in the works.
Well, it's amazing though they spent all that money to build that dang thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, if they know this thing is coming in, for them to abandon it, that doesn't make any sense. So.
Yeah, well, maybe a deception or something, you know, or something. I still believe, my friend, too, has a theory that we still believe Skylab is still up there. They just made it look like it crashed, you know, burned up in the atmosphere and stuff. They think that's might be a military space station. There's a lot of rumor about a military space station up there, too.
Well, I don't know if you got to hear my archive from last weekend, but I had Jay Widener on, and he said that the real elite are going off planet. They're going to their underground bases on the moon and Mars. Did you get to hear that?
I did hear that. I find it very fascinating, real, really fascinating. Like I said, I had an uncle. We'll talk about it another show someday. Uncle, he's passed away now. He knew some people higher ups. He was retired in the United States Navy. A man landed on the moon, and we were all sitting in the front room, you know, watching it. And he says, oh, we went up there secretly back in the 40s and 50s. And that. And my mom, well, I can't say the word over the air, but my mom said that he was full of beans. and now I find these stories that, well, maybe we did secretly go up there before, if we really did go to the moon, you know, the TV, the overt mission, you know, with Apollo 11 and that.
Well, there's a very little known man out there by the name of Vladimir Terzisky that put out information that they went to the moon and Mars and set up bases as far back in the 40s. And then sure enough, we have Bill Cooper, this former U.S. Navy whistleblower, putting out a video presentation back in the earlier mid-90s that he was showing on these videos that they had bases on the moon.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, there's more what's going on. They're not telling us. They're just keeping us dumbed down with sports and sitcoms and, you know, the Jerry Springers, Oprahs, and the NASCARs and NFL and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sheeple-minded. They got the American, especially American people, they got their brains out. They got their brains out to lunch, you know. It is a shame, you know. It's really a shame that, you know, it's like you tell people, oh, you can't live on Mars. You got thin air. I believe there's people even living on Venus. You know, oh, you can't live. There's gases and stuff. I says, well, how do you know there's gases up there? Who told you that? Well, that's what the books say. Well, anybody can print something up in a book like that and say, yeah, there's poison gases on Venus, you know?
Yeah.
So. You know, I mean, how do we know? And there's pictures that were even leaked out that Mars has a blue sky.
Now, have you're a native of Colorado. You've been to that Denver airport. You've also got to see the murals and that there. What do you think about it, the Denver airport?
Well, it's interesting. I'm a native from your state. I just claim Colorado's my second home. I'm a native from Wisconsin here, but I've talked to people that worked up there for temporary job services and that, and they said there were certain areas they were not allowed to go into, and people that did get to go in there had to have a security clearance. They're talking about deep underground up there. So there is something strange about the Denver airport. I was told never to fly in and out of there by a Native American Indian woman because they always had bad luck up there. She said it's on Native sacred land or something like that. She says there's something really bad's going to happen there because they've been having all these problems. And I listen to Native American Indians and they tell me stuff like that. Just like the Miller Park, the Milwaukee County Stadium, when they built that, they've been having trouble ever since. They had that crane accident and other weird stuff there. And the Indians warned not to build that there because they had sacred land.
Wow. You've been keeping track of Lucas's new website. He's got a lot of fascinating up-to-date information about, like, fireballs being seen around the world and that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People have been seeing stuff like that. And these earthquakes, there's, you know, we've had one up here in February this year. I felt that one. And somewhere in northern Illinois, it triggered off, so.
Well, so there's a break. Break. You want to hold over or you want to finish?
I'm going to take off, and I think we'll just wrap it up from here, and we'll do this again another time then.
Sounds good, John. Thanks for coming on board. We'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to you again then. Thanks a lot, Sheldon.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, John. Okay, you're listening to The Light of Day, folks. We'll be back on Orion. Stay tuned. Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010. I believe this is the 19th show now on the Orion Network that I've done. Wanted you folks to know that Gilbert Erickson was a guest on the Vortex Network News Radio Show. If you go, folks, go to vortexnetworknews.com and you can download the MP3 archive of the interview that was done with Gilbert on there. I've had Gilbert on my show three times now. He is pretty much in tune with what's going on with Wormwood's inbound passage. John DiNardo, my very close friend John DiNardo, was on R.J. Hender's The Morning Liberty Show on Republic Broadcasting Network Thursday, July 29th. And I've posted that interview on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage if you folks want to download and or listen to that. Now, I almost got a pre-recorded interview with Lucas done this week, but I guess his cat died on him, so we're going to hold that off until next week. So I'm going to do a pre-recorded with Lucas next week and re-air that during the live broadcast next weekend. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed my interview there with John Scherfa, John up in Milwaukee. He's pretty interested in what's going on with this Planet X stuff. I got an article here that Gilbert Erickson sent me about oil still missing out in the Gulf. Should read that to you. Just pulling it up here. Anyway, while I'm bringing it up, you're listening to The Light of Day live Saturday night, July 31st, 2010, with your host Sheldon Day. Current dew point in this monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert is about 68 degrees as measured at the Tucson International Airport. So we're pretty muggy down here, I must admit. Oh, let's see. This is pretty interesting. Gulf oil flow has stopped, but where is the oil? Going to read this. This will probably take us up to the top of the hour break. I got two or three sound bites I'm going to play next hour, by the way, just for a heads up here. All right, I want to read this article that Gilbert sent me. Gulf oil flow has stopped, but where's the oil? In the 2 weeks since the temporary cap stopped the BP gusher at the bottom of the Gulf, not much oil has been showing up on the surface of the water. Scientists caution that does not mean the crude is gone. There's still a lot of it in the Gulf, though no one is sure quite how much or exactly where it is. Quote, you know, it didn't just disappear, said Ernst Peebles, a biological oceanographer at the University of South Florida. Quote, we expect that it has been dispersed pretty far by now. Jane Lubchenko, the head of the NOAA, said government and independent scientists have been working hard to figure out where the oil might be, but don't yet have numbers. Some is still washing up on beaches and in coastal wetlands, but not in the quantities that it was a few weeks ago. Scientists do know that more than 600 miles of coastline has been oiled in the nearly 100 days since the April 20th explosion of the oil rig Deepwater Horizon. They estimate that between 107 million gallons and 184 million gallons spewed into the Gulf before the cap stopped the flow July 15th. The permanent solution using a relief well to shoot in mud and cement is still several weeks away. So far, officials say they have recovered 34.6 million gallons of oily water using skimmer boats and burnt about 11.1 million gallons of the sea surface. So where's the rest? Scientists are worried that much of it has been trapped below the surface after more than 770,000 gallons of chemical dispersant were used to break up the oil a mile deep. They have found evidence of massive clouds of oil suspended in the water. Quote, what is down there is a smaller particle, said chemical oceanographer. I can't pronounce that word for some reason. But anyway, his name is John Kessler from Texas A&M University. Quote, you can think of it as thick, nasty crude. This article goes on and on, but my thoughts on this, folks, are, I got to talking to John DiNardo privately on the phone about this today. The chemical dispersant corrects at 9500 is being used to conceal the fissuring seabed because they don't want the masses to find out that this is a natural disaster in the Gulf. So much of the crude, in me and John's opinion, is beneath the surface of the sea. So that explains where the oil is. I also got an email from Ann Morrison here that there's been at least 22 earthquakes near Australia. I'm going to pull that up while I'm speaking here. This is pretty significant. We really need to keep track of these severe earthquakes going on. This is from Ann Morrison. This is John Moore's earthquake research associate. On Thursday, July 29th at 2:31 a.m. Central Time, a large deep magnitude 6.6 quake. Keep in mind, folks, that would actually be a 7.6 as far as us Planet X researchers go. Anyway, this quake occurred north of Australia near where three previous large earthquakes have occurred in the last few days. No tsunami statement was issued. Earthquakes this deep seldom produce tsunami because they are believed to occur in the mantle, not the crust of the earth. Seismic stations around the world recorded this quake. However, the stations do not show major movement in the crust. This was from Ann Morrison 2 days ago. As of 2 days ago, there have been 22 significant earthquakes at this location since the last Friday, July 23rd. That's something we should stay focused on. Because as Planet X gets deeper into the solar system, we're going to be seeing more severe earthquakes and also earthquakes in places that we haven't seen them before. Well, let's see. We got about a few more minutes until the break. You know, it's interesting, folks. This is something I haven't shared on my show yet, but whenever I look at Obama on TV, I actually perceive him as a genetic construct. He looks like a clone. I don't perceive him to be a real human being. I don't know if any of you folks have noticed this, but I have. It's something I haven't mentioned on my show yet. But, you know, I bring this up because there was a guy named Dr. Peter Beter back in the 70s that was putting out this information that the presidents actually have clones. And I'm beginning to believe this is what I think Obama is. As the Earth changes draw closer, Obama may have actually have gone underground already. I mean, we've been seeing indications that other leaders like Rahm Emanuel is resigning from the White House later this year. I don't have the specific email here to bring it up, but this is something Lucas has warned us about, that various political figures will be faking their deaths and resigning and things like that as the ruling power elite get prepared to go underground in anticipation of these Earth cataclysms. Now, folks, I'm a Gemini. I'm born on what's called the Day of the Far Out Adventure. I really like to go into what I call a far out reality here, because reality for most of us is too harsh to deal with. But at the same token, we need to keep in mind that this may be highly possible as to what's going to happen soon with these Earth changes. So what we're actually doing here is documenting the end of the world as the way we know it. And I'm interested in covering what's not being covered. Because, you know, we hear about all this stuff out in the mainstream news. I just think it's a bunch of BS. How can we trust it? I mean, this is what they want the sheeple to believe and to listen to. So that's the sort of the genre of my show. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. Stay tuned.